You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from lead pastor Andy Hunt. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
I want to say a big hello and welcome to anyone who's visiting with us for church today, or that you're watching online and somebody has shot this out to you maybe later on. And the fact as well, it is so important for us to just continue to grow. And that's what you enter into when you come to church, is a group of people who don't have it all together, but are endeavoring to continue to grow in their relationship with God. And whether you're a family member or a friend or a colleague and someone said, come along to church, or they've sent you this, it's because they love you. That is why. It's not because they want you to come across and agree with everything that they have to say. It's because they love you and there is a truth that they want you to know. Now, before I get to the message today, everyone who drove in would have seen a few bits and pieces over that way. Everyone see some work going on? What are we doing? We're building a car park. I wish it was more exciting, but it's a car park and we do need some more parking around the church. So that's going to happen over the next few weeks. So please just give a bit of grace as you go around there. But that's exciting. We need some more parks and it'll go all the way down to the barn there as well to provide some event parking. So it'll be great. Now, today we are in week 4, which is our second last week of the series that Steph mentioned called Big Questions, Bigger God. And we've acknowledged that no matter what your background, your circumstances, whether you grew up with a lot or you grew up with very little, whether church was part of your upbringing or not, there is something inside of us that at some point in time in our life asks these big existential questions about life that can sometimes be hard for us to answer. And today we're going to look at answering the question, the number one question of pretty much all humanity throughout the ages, this question here. Why do I exist? Why do I exist? What is the purpose of life? Does my life actually really matter? And I know that that title, it personalizes it a little bit, but generally we're considering the number one question, which is just why? Like, why anything, really? And the way that you answer that question is inextricably going to be tied to your worldview or to your belief system. For instance, as apart from religion, which some people will say different things about that, the general consensus is that we need to make up our own meaning for our lives. Make your own meaning up. Make up something that is meaningful to you based on happiness or success or relationships or on overall impact on the world. It would be said that true meaning comes from being true to yourself, is what people would say. And I know that this kind of language can sound a bit fluffy and nice on the surface, but there is a fundamental flaw to this way of thinking. Now, to make that example, I've got something, Cassandra, if you can, lovely wife, pass me those things there, that would be great. Just the first bit. Yeah, that one there. Great. Does anyone know what this is? What does it look like? It's a gadget. A cat water fountain. That is a good guess. It is not right. Do I have any guesses from this side? A juicer. Ah, good guess. You are along the right track because it is indeed a kitchen appliance. Why is that funny? Because I don't know what it's called. I actually don't know what it's called. But I know what it does. It's all in Chinese, so I can't read it. I don't know what it says, but I know what it does. Now, this might give you another clue. Can I have that other bit, please? That'd be great. Oh, we're going to learn something today. Oh, what are these? There you go, Pastor Graham. There's one for you. Just in case. There it is. Lovely, fresh grapes. Good. Crunchy. Grapes. Now, do we think we know what it is? Why? A winemaker, he says. We've had communion, don't worry. No, this is actually a peeler, all right? And what would you normally peel at home? Tell me. Potatoes, probably. Probably potatoes more than anything else. So this one is a grape peeler. Now, sorry. I've got too many grapes. I may actually have too many grapes. Thanks. Thanks, Greg. No, that's okay, because watch what it's going to do. Watch what it's going to do. Now, I'll put this on the top. The beauty of this thing is that you don't need to plug it in. So I just press the button. Again, it's in Chinese, so I don't know which one's which. I just got to make sure. And I spin. Are the grapes doing something? And then we just wait. Does it look like something's happening? No. I think the idea is you just run out of battery and see what happens. Are they moving? They're having a party in there. Look at them. Round and round we go. And then the beauty of this is there's another button on the top, and when you press it, hopefully, they all just spit out the side. Now, it's supposed to work better than that. What I have here, I don't know if you guys can zoom in, is I have a wonderfully half-peeled and mangled grape, which is what this machine has done. We're just going to leave it there. It's a Temu gadget, you reckon? Probably. I reckon I've put too many grapes in there. But anyway, what this thing is supposed to do is when you put your grapes or your cherry tomatoes or something there, it's supposed to peel all the skin off. Duncan is shaking his head. It's supposed to peel everything off, and then what do you get at the end? You get peeled grapes. Like, I don't know. Yeah, shout out to Anne Reardon and How to Cook That, because she did it much better than this. If you watch her YouTube channel, you will see this device in action, and they actually knew what they were doing. So go and watch them. But the point that I'm trying to make here is we have these things, we have these gadgets, and although I don't know what it's called, somebody thought that this was a good idea. Somebody thought that this thing had purpose. And then somebody who designed all the parts and all the pieces and everything that goes together thought, let's send it to a factory, let's get it mass produced, and let's sell it to people. This thing, believe it or not, has a designer and has a creator. And the point I'm trying to make, no matter what gadget it is, whatever we look at, we've spoken about intelligent design over the last couple of weeks. When we think about our own lives in relation to the question, why do I exist? Why? We first need to go back to the source. We need to understand who the creator and who the designer is. And for us, they are one and the same person. And the truth is this: until we know our designer and our creator, we will never fully realize our purpose in life or reason for living. And I want to say that again because it's critical. Until we know, not just know who, but until we know our designer and our creator, we will never fully realize our purpose in life or our reason for living, which is to know God. Without him, we'll be simply just guessing. It'll be effectively like us throwing a potato in here and thinking that's going to do the job, but I tell you what, it is not. Even if you throw grapes in there, even if you understand its design, if you do it in the wrong way, it's not going to give you what you need. If we look for meaning outside of the one who designed and created us, we'll always be found wanting. And so before we get onto what this purpose is, I know we all want to answer that question, we need to first understand or answer this question: who is this creator or this designer? And I piggyback off what Mark Harwood spoke last week about when he discussed the looking at the wonder of creation and seeing God in all of that. The logical conclusion to looking at what we see around the world is that there was a creator. There is a creator. His name is God. And then we look to gain a better understanding of that by opening the Word of God, looking at the Bible, this ancient book. And I'm going to begin with a passage in Exodus. It's just a small thing. And for those who caught Inscribed last week, we read this. And God is speaking with this man named Moses in Exodus 3. And he's instructing Moses to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And when Moses says, God, I don't know if I can do this. And he says, what if the people like have a crack at me? What if they say, like, who is that sent you? And what if they say, what is his name. What should I say? And in Exodus 3:14, I'll have it on the screen for you as well. Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. It's an interesting statement if you haven't analyzed or thought about it deeply before, because God didn't begin his response by saying, well, let me tell you about all the things I've done. Let me tell you about what I can do. Let me tell you about the fact that I am God. I'm the creator of the universe. I also created you. God simply responds by saying, I am who I am. Another translation of this that you might have in your Bibles would be, I will be what I will be. It speaks to a God who is self-sufficient, self-existent. He is all-encompassing and without limitation. He is the one being in the universe who is not dependent on something else for his existence, the one being. And before we get to the question about the point of our own existence, we first need to acknowledge that this is the God who created us in the first place. The title of this series, like I said, is Big Questions, Bigger God. And no matter the size of the question that we ask in our lives, let me implore you today to consider and remain constantly aware of the fact that God is bigger. He existed before the beginning of time, and he will exist forevermore. There's these three concepts about God that we read in the Word of God or we see outworked, and they're up on the screen there. We see that God is these three things. He's omnipotent. Omnipotent meaning that he is all-powerful, that nothing is too hard for this God that we're talking about. He is omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing, that nothing is hidden from him. And he's also omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere, that nothing is outside his reach. This is the God that created you and me. I just feel prompted even right now for us to stop and for us to pray for the world that we live in. And every time you open up the news, something is advancing. And it's one thing for us to come and for us to consider what God wants to do in our own lives, but what does he want to do around the world? So can we just stop and can we pray for what's happening in the Middle East and across the world today? Father God, we thank you that as we open your word and as we come to you today, we know that you are sovereign. We rest in that knowledge that you are sovereign. Father, that you are indeed omnipotent. That you are all-powerful. Nothing is too hard for you. That you are omniscient, all-knowing. That no part of what's going on in the world is unknown to you. That you are omnipresent, that you are everywhere. Nothing is outside of your reach. And so, Lord, we humbly come before you this morning knowing that truth. And Lord, we pray that you would do a mighty work in the hearts of everyone involved in this war that's going on in the Middle East. The impact that has on different people and their thoughts about you and their thoughts towards one another. The hatred that is at the core of much of this and evil, Lord. We understand that a battle rages not just in the way that bombs are thrown or different economic measures are put in place, but we know the main war, Lord, is a spiritual war. Lord, we ask that you would soften people's hearts to receive the knowledge of Jesus through this time. Father, we trust you even with this situation. The flow and impact on us as a nation or even us as individuals can be that we allow ourselves to carry the burden of some of these things that we hear. But Father, we thank you and we know that your design for us is not to carry these burdens, but to come before you and lay them at your feet. And it's as we do this, we have a peace that transcends all understanding. And Lord, I pray that the testimony of everybody walking through this who keeps their eyes fixed on you would be one that says, I don't understand this joy and I don't understand this peace. Help point me in the direction of where that has come from. His name is Jesus. So, Lord, we ask you to continue to have your way. We trust you. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. This is the critical point when we come to asking this question about why do I exist? And I watched this random short video from a YouTuber, a young man who was quite successful in different areas of his life, and he was trying to answer this question in about 5 minutes to his audience. And he went along speaking in this, you know, it was nice language, but the conclusion that he came to was, I don't need to worry in life. I have peace in life, and I don't need to hold offense. I do what I feel is right for myself and others because nothing matters anyway. And at the end of my life, I know my body and my bones and everything is just going to waste away back into the dirt. And so nothing matters. And it was from that origin of nothing matters that it was like, and so I can have peace because nothing I do even matters in the end anyway. And this is where this crossroad decision comes. If we believe that we came from nothing and that we are going to nothing, then life simply comes back to me and I'll make my purpose, make my pursuits about me and my life. But if we grasp that God, that a big God created us, we read in Genesis, created us in his own image. If we can grasp that, then surely we exist for more than just mere existence. So the first point today that we need to know is that we exist to know God. You and I exist to know God. And what's more than that is this, the second point is that we've been created for relationship. Unlike this peeler that had one job to do, And maybe for you and I, maybe you know people and you're like, dude, that guy is good at one thing and he's really good at that one thing and that's just what he does. But the difference is between us and the peeler is that we don't just have something to do, but we have someone to know. And this peeler or any other gadgets that we can experience, they never have a relationship with their creator or their designer. And that is the unique thing about us, that we are called to then have a relationship with our creator and our designer. And even as I think about that, it's pretty crazy to even consider that God created us for relationship with him. Augustine of Hippo said this quote, one of the most influential Christians since the Bible era. He said about God, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." We have been created by God and for God for relationship with him. And I know that there's times in my life, and maybe this is the same for you, where I've felt closer to God than other times, where I've felt more distant. Sometimes there can be highs and lows in the Christian walk. Has anybody ever felt that in their own life? Man, I'm rough. Pray for me afterwards, please, Pastor. We feel like that's a reality. Sometimes we feel closer to God and sometimes we feel more distant. And often for me, it's because I've either put my Bible down or I've been distracted with all the stuff that I have to do with my life that it kind of leads me away from actually sitting and spending time with God. And as a follower of Jesus, as someone who's made him Lord of my life, that's why I feel off sometimes. Something doesn't feel right because I haven't primarily been created to do things for God. I have been created to have a relationship with God. That's one of the greatest challenges in my life. God, I can do all these things for you. Please be happy with all of these. I'm doing good stuff. I'm seeing these. I'm building all these things. But God's like, bro. No, he doesn't say that. He says, Andrew. He says, young man. Yes, that's great. And I love seeing you do all these things. But before you do all these things, I simply want you to come and be with me because I've created you for a relationship. Not to do, but to be. And this relationship with him, the great news is it's not just limited to our time here on earth, but once our bodies pass away, our souls live on. John 17:3. Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, both now and into eternity. And with that relationship with him, he's also deliberately created us for a relationship with others, that person sitting next to you, across the row from you today. Whether you know them really well or not at all, God has designed us not to make our way through life alone or isolated, but with others. At Inscribe, which Dan spoke about, our 1 p.m. Bible sessions today, we're looking at the second half of Exodus, being God's instruction to the Israelites, the Ten Commandments, the creation of the tabernacle. It's been so awesome to study through. And this, in a sentence, is all about God coming to dwell with his people, with relationship, a way that a holy God can be close to an imperfect people. And the next week, as we fly through Leviticus, I've heard it said about Leviticus that it is the graveyard of Christians' New Year's resolutions, is the book of Leviticus. But we're going to see these detailed instructions on how this relationship can be maintained. It's really rich when you understand it, both the relationship with God and with each other. It's a really interesting book to look at. But this is all within the old covenant, the old promises that have been made by God to his people. Now, under the new covenant, which has come through Jesus, we can experience this relationship with God through the Holy Spirit on a whole nother level. But wait, there's more. And we all long for the day where we will no longer be inhibited by the sinful desires of our flesh, but will once again be made pure to experience God in all of his glory. And that day is coming. Oh, man. What a brilliant thing to look forward to in our future is that day when we get to simply be in the presence of God, uninhibited by the lusts of the flesh. What a joyous thing to consider. So why do I exist? I've been created by God and for God to know him, but not just to know of him and about him, but to have a relationship with him. And so what does that look like? And I think that's the question we all want to get to. What does that look like? What is the application of this knowledge to my life? And I'm going to give you 3 points under the heading of created for divine direction. Created for divine direction. Because it's no good me, or someone else for that matter, telling you what to do with your life. It's the Creator who needs to define that for us. And so we're going to see what it says in the Word. And turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Pretty much if you got your Bible there, split it down the middle, open it up, and you'll be around the right spot. Isaiah 43. This is written by one of the old prophets, Isaiah, for the nation of Israel, but God is actually speaking to his people through this as well. And I want to make this point before we read it, while you're turning there. Sometimes when we read the Bible, it can be easy for us to actually insert ourselves into a passage that we read. We read that and there's a promise and we're like, man, I want to grab that and apply it to my life. But it's not the way that it always works. I mean, you take the story for Noah, of Noah, for example, who gives this instruction to Noah. We ain't got people building arks in their backyard necessarily. So not all of it is prescriptive to us. But look at what Paul says to all believers in Galatians 3:29. I'll put on the screen before we read Isaiah 43. And he says this, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So there is an application to some of these promises to Israel for us today under the new covenant. And so as we read this passage that you've got in front of you in Isaiah, it's written to the nation of Israel and should be seen through the Jewish lens. But we as Gentile believers, which are most of us here who are Jewish, it would be a mistake for us to not see ourselves in part in this as well, as grafted members of the family through Christ Jesus. So let's read Isaiah 43, 1 to 2, and we're going to read verse 6 and 7 as well. It says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Pause there. I don't know if you've heard that verse spoken before, but often we can think of that and we can go, man, awesome. Yes, I want to apply that. I'm never going to be burned. And the rivers will not overwhelm me. Who don't want that? Of course. But I'm not suggesting that you go out of here and run into a bonfire today, because the Bible says, I'm going to be okay. Or you go swimming if you don't know how to swim. Don't go doing that, please. But sometimes we can apply these things to us. But what's happening here is the nation of Israel are receiving a promise that this water overwhelming them is in relation to other nations, is what he's saying. These other nations, they will not come and they will not overwhelm you. I'll make you pass through that. And even when it comes to the fire, and you shall not be consumed, we'll read this today as well, that God's anger burned for the nation of Israel as they made mistakes and as they built other gods and all this sort of stuff. What he's saying is that the wrath of God shall not consume you. It's a promise to them of himself. But we know that Jesus says that we'll face for us many trials here on earth. And he reminds us that he'll never leave us. And then read on in verse 6. It says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by name, my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Everyone whom I created for my glory. That's the part that we want to focus on. The first thing in understanding the divine directions for our lives is that we exist to the glory of God. We exist to glorify God. Remembering every day this fact, it goes against every selfish bone in our bodies because it's so easier for us to default to life being all about me. We need to actively go about bursting the self bubble that inevitably blows up above our heads every single morning. And remember, it's actually about him. God created the universe, the galaxies, the stars, the most minuscule cells in your body with this message that the weight and the greatness of the universe is about my power, he says. Romans 11, 36 says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And when your feet hit the floor in the morning, my prayer is that you will say this, and I want to do this as well. God, today, let my life bring glory to your name. I've been getting up a little bit earlier because we've had our 6 a.m. prayer meetings here through the last 3 weeks. And Cass and I, after a few days, Cass had this conversation with me, and she said, oh, yeah, I've been waking up about the same time as you as well. She said, because you're so violent in pulling the blanket when you get out of bed. I said, I have been trying. Like, I wake up and I'm like, gently removing that thing. I don't know how you're waking up to that because it is so quiet and I've been so gentle. Anyway, who are you going to believe? Anyway, the story goes on because I think I figured it out. So, I think I figured it out because what I do when I gently remove the blanket from my body is I stick my feet off the edge of the bed, which is this side, and as I like stick my feet out, I like lift one of them up in the air and then I like flick it down so that then the rest of my body comes up like that as well. I don't know if anyone does that, but I was just analyzing this. That's what I do to get out of bed. And like all of a sudden, bam, I'm up on my feet. And I think that's been what's been waking you up. So I'm going to try a bit more gently to get out of bed from now on. The whole reason I give you that funny little example is because I want you to think about your own feet hitting the floor in the morning. And as you're falling up out of bed, and your feet hit the floor, we burst that self bubble that's above our head by saying, God, today, let my life bring glory to you. And I want to encourage you to put that vocabulary in your mouth every morning. When you wake up, that be the first thing. God, thank you for this day. Let my life bring glory to you today. Because we have been designed. This is our first purpose in life, is to bring glory to the name of God. May I glorify you with the way that I speak. May I glorify you with the way that I act. May I glorify you with the way that I think. This purpose is what transcends our circumstances. Whether it be our work, whether it be our leisure, whether it be our rest, whatever it is, our relationships, the honoring of God remains. And this helps when you get bogged down in the like, well, what do you want me to do with my life, God? What am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? I'm struggling to understand purpose in what to do with the next foot. And maybe I'm thinking 10 years in advance and I don't know what to do. This helps you not get bogged down because every day you wake up with purpose to glorify the living God. And that is a message for anybody who's stuck, who's going through a season where maybe for you it is so hard to even get up in the morning. And maybe someone sent you this and they're like, man, I think this is you. And it's just even getting out of bed. I don't know what the point is, because everything else that's out there for me, man, it's just all too hard. I want to give you something real simple, just real simple. You have the opportunity to glorify God, not only with the big things that you see everyone else doing. It's not about comparing yourself to that, but the opportunity to glorify God in even the smallest things that He knows that you can actually manage that day. To let your feet hit the floor and say, God, today let my life glorify you. We exist to glorify God. And the second thing in our pursuit of divine direction is that we have the opportunity to walk in freedom and in life. God has not designed us and created us to be in a permanent state of malfunction. These gadgets, they break, they broke, I don't know. They run out of battery, they go on a shelf, they go in a bin, they just get discarded after time, never to be used for their purpose again. But as we give our lives, us, over to Christ and He leads us through the Word of God and by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, He leads us towards freedom and towards fulfilled life. And here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. It says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and can reflect the glory of God. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. You might hear it said or shouted out that what's our goal? To become more like Christ. That's where that comes from, to become more like Jesus. True freedom and life is found in the constant transformation of ourselves in becoming more and more like Jesus. In the saying no to sin and death and saying yes to life. I'm sure you've seen people go on these transformation journeys and they apply themselves to working out and they eat better and they, you know, learn and their brain works out, whatever. And you see them in a few years like, whoa, what a transformative journey. The same thing is for us as believers. As we enter into a relationship with Christ, as we open the Word of God and as we allow the Holy Spirit, which is a gift to us through that process to make it come alive, that we are, the idea is that the transformative journey begins for us. And perhaps when I said before that God has not created us for malfunction, you might have thought, Andy, my body, man, I dream of being able to flick my leg like that and get up out of bed because, dude, it's hard. My body's all about malfunction right now. This is the life for me, and I know that. I know that's the reality, and God knows that too. And we believe that God can heal us. Amen. Everyone with a struggles to get out of bed says, amen. God can heal us, but this is the truth right now as well, that freedom from sin is not just about feeling better. It's about stepping into the process of repentance, of obedience, and of sanctification. Repentance, obedience, and sanctification. That is where freedom of sin from sin comes. And finally, the last one today when it comes to our divine direction is that we now have the mission of leading others to know God too. Point number three, to shine the light of the gospel of Christ. As with every message, there's so much more that could be pulled out and said about purpose in life and why we exist, but this is just to give a framework for you. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory, there it is again, to your Father who is in heaven. One of our brothers here at church a few months ago came up to me before church and was just glowing. He was beaming. He'd had the opportunity the night before to lead one of his older friends, their family, to Christ. And he was so overjoyed as he was telling me about saying that prayer of repentance to them as they gave their hearts to Jesus. The joy on his face and in his voice at the story he told was to me like he was saying, man, I found the thing in life. This is what it's about right here. And I want to give you something, a tool, as we go today, is this image on the screen. We're going to have a look at this and make our way through it. And maybe worship team, if we can come and sing that song about giving glory to God, that would be awesome, please. This is a tool from a website called Navigators. And this is called one-verse evangelism. And it's a way to explain the need for God in such a simple way. And so this verse that we have up the top here is from Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as part of our design and part of our purpose in life, as a believer, is to know the truth of this, to be able to pass it on to someone. And this is that tool. If you're sitting down with someone, you've got a bit of paper, you can simply look this through. For the wages of sin is death. And you start with drawing it on the side there, that first box, that wages. And you explain it this way. Like, imagine at work if your boss decided not to pay you. If you decided not to get your money, what would you feel? Well, I'm not getting what I deserve. Well, I tell you what, like when it comes to sin, the sin that we've all committed, there is something coming for us. There is something that we all deserve based on our sin. And what we deserve because of that as we go down is death. But at the bottom there is a big but in the middle. But the gift, what is it about a gift? If I gave you a gift today, it would be free to you, but a gift always costs some money. The gift giver has to obtain that gift in the first place. And so we explain that the gift of God, the gift that he paid for by sending his only son Jesus to die on the cross for, the gift of God is what? Is eternal life. Eternal life is that incredible gift that we get. Eternal life, not just to be able to do what we want to do, but eternal life to spend with the creator of the universe. We are created for God, for relationship with him. And this is him making a way for that then to exist for us into eternity. The gift of God is eternal life. And it's found in Jesus Christ. And as we draw that cross in between these two areas where there's us, the person, and then there's God over that side, Jesus Christ is indeed the bridge. He is the only way that you and I, based on our sin, could be made right with God again. And the way to do that is right at the top of that cross there. It's that word that Dan had for us today as well, is to trust. Is to trust in Jesus Christ. Is to put our faith, our belief, everything about our lives into his hands as our creator and as our designer, to trust and believe that he came, that he died on the cross, and that he rose again. And as we do that, we then go back into relationship with God again. We are made righteous with Christ. Our purpose in life, the reason we exist from coming to know these things. And we'll just stand as we close. I'm going to pray for you. To know that you've been created and designed by a God who wants to be in relationship with you. That the people we do life with is because God made us not for a solo life, but for a life with others. And then every day when we rise, we have a purpose, which is to glorify God, to walk in freedom in life, and to shine the light of Christ. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. And I just think right now of people when I mentioned that feeling distant from God, and maybe you've come here today and maybe it's your first time in church for a while. Or maybe that's just how you're feeling. It's just like life is so crazy. I feel distant from God right now. And the revelation for you today is that God doesn't want it to be that way. God has designed us for him and for that closeness of relationship with him. And as we read the word, we see so many examples of God just wanting to make that a reality. And then he ultimately did in the most beautiful way through Jesus Christ. And I want to pray that whatever it is that's inhibiting you from that closeness with God, that that would be released right now, that you would have revelation by the Holy Spirit of that closeness that he wants with you. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your truth. I thank you that as we ask these questions about our own existence here, really, Lord God, we're not here just to exist, but we're here to know. We're here to know you and here to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. So, Father, I pray for our church family and for everybody who's here right now, that if they're thinking that life is too busy, I don't have the time. I just feel distant from God, and so the feeling is gone. Father, that there would be a revelation today of your desire to know them and to know them to the depth beyond anything we've ever experienced. Lord God, that if it is sin in their life that is that barrier that they're feeling, I can't come before God with how I'm living right now. That they would know that that is exactly how you have called us to come. It was while we were sinners, we were stuck in our sin, that you sent Jesus to come and to die for us. And just if that's you, just see even in your own mind, just taking that step towards God, because he waits, as we see in the story of the prodigal son, he waits with open arms waiting for his children to return home. Father, we thank you that as we come to you, as we embrace you, Lord, that you do not leave us in the same state as when we arrived. But through that process of repentance, finding forgiveness, and then being willing to go through that process of sanctification, Lord, there is joy to be found in the freedom and the life that comes. So, Father, I pray again for anybody who might be stuck in a pattern of sin, that it feels like the hooks, the claws are just so deep. And like a fish hook that's gone in, it's just, for me to get out of this, it's going to hurt. Lord, I pray that they would see right now that it is not your way for them to sit in that sin any longer. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, to break the power of that sin over their lives, and that same power to help them walk in freedom, this can be the last day for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As the team sings, just lift your hands if you're comfortable as an act of surrender to the King of all kings. We surrender to you, Lord.
It is that we can come together and we can worship the Lord. We're going to move into a time of communion now, so if you want to take your seats. Hospitality team, if you could distribute the elements, that would be great. You know, we've just sung, "I will boast ever only in the Lord my God." And in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in verse 30, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." But then he goes on in chapter 2, and he says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaim to you the testimony of God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I've resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul isn't speaking literally here. He didn't forget everything that he already knew. But what he's saying is that the knowledge of Jesus and who he is and what he's done, the knowledge of everything else means nothing in comparison. It means nothing in comparison. He is the only thing worth knowing, Christ and the finished work of the cross. That's the center of everything. And it's the lens through which we need to filter all other information and everything else we know. And you know, we've been in this series, Big Questions, Bigger God. And don't you just love that we have a God that we can come to with our questions? That we don't need to hide them away? That we can bring him our doubts and our uncertainties to him and we can trust him with them? And you know, sometimes we find ourselves walking through situations where we feel like we're just coming up empty in our understanding. We don't know why we're going through what we're going through. We can't rationalize it. Or at the other end, maybe you feel like you're just being bombarded with too much and you feel almost too full. All you have to do is turn on the TV or drive past the petrol station and you feel the weight of that, of the way the world is at the moment. There's too much going on, and we can just get to a point where we're like, I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to know that. I didn't need to know that. We feel like we know too much. But can I say this morning, church, that wherever on that spectrum you land of feeling like you're coming up empty or feeling like you're just overwhelmed with the weight of it all, Calvary is enough. The cross of Jesus is enough. We might have big questions that we wrestle with and are unsure about, and there are some things that we may never understand on this side of eternity, because his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. But one thing that we can know with absolute certainty in amongst all our big questions is the all-sufficiency of the cross. When we have questions, he is the answer. When we don't have the words, his blood speaks a better one. When we are hurting and confused and overwhelmed, we can run directly to the throne of grace to find mercy in our time of need. And we can do so because of his body broken and his blood spilled for us on the cross that brings us into right relationship with the Father. Calvary is enough.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you'd like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.